I said there are two routes. One is the self-help groups and the other is the joint liability groups. Self-help groups, we have looked into some kind of, you know, we made a beginning with it. Then I used a word, another word I used was the joint liability groups. Let me add at this stage, we shall have more details on the self-help groups, more details on the joint liability groups through separate chapters. This is only a kind of curtain raiser, I'm putting it, just to give you an idea at the moment about the concepts. We shall go into more details as we proceed with the subject. Joint liability groups basically is an informal group. SHE was also an informal group. But look to here the size. Here the size is 4 to 10 persons. In SHE, the size was up to 20. Now this is the first difference which comes into picture. The size of the group. Here the size is a smaller one. 4 to 10 people come together. They form their own group. They get a loan. The loan could be for individuals or could be for group. Both the options are open as per the joint liability groups are concerned. Here the second difference between the SHE and the joint liability group is that here this loan is not linked to the savings. In case of SHE, there is a linkage between the savings and the credit. Maybe 1:4. In the sense, if the group has a saving about 10,000 rupees, in SHE they get a loan about 40,000 rupees. In case of joint liability groups, no such linkage is there. They can get more credit also. Even if the saving is 10,000 rupees, they may get a loan of about 80,000, 90,000 rupees. That is not possible in the SHEs in the very initial stages. Over a period of time, the group matures. It is a discretion of the bank to give more credit to SHEs also. But for joint liability groups, these are basically called as credit groups. These people, they come together, form the group mainly for getting a credit from the banking system. And therefore, I have written that these people come together for getting larger credit support from the banks, one. Second, reduce the waiting time for getting the credit. In SHE, the credit could be available on rotational basis. First few individuals will get it. Then once these guys repay, the other 3-4 will get it. Here, the waiting period for getting the credit is reduced. The third, which is very important, is it facilitates the loan without physical collateral. I'm using a word here, physical collateral, in the sense they don't have to mortgage here anything. The social capital which is created through the networking is enough here to get the banking system. The joint liability groups and their linkage with the banking system helps us in what? In addressing the issue which is relating to the farmer distress. We hear a lot about the farmer distress, maybe the farmer suicides, what we hear. This is one of the mechanisms which help these guys to come together, get the credit from the banking system at cheaper rate and without waiting for a longer period, without having any collaterals. These are the few important dimensions we must remember when we talk about the joint liability groups. This is the third scheme which I said. First was the SHE, second was the joint liability groups. Third is the Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana. As I said, this started somewhere in 2014-15. The aim was very simple. Ensure that we are able to provide the banking services to the excluded sections of the community. Right from the first sentence which I uttered for this course, this is the credit, this is the bank saving support, these are the remittances. This is mean for the households who were excluded from the banking system. The aim is what? The aim is to provide the access to the banking facilities, increase the level of financial literacy too. Third, ensure the access to credit. Fourth, provide the access to the insurance and the pension services. These are the 4 or 5 elements we have to provide them. Hitherto or so far, these people have been excluded from the banking system. Now we will try through the, we are trying through the PMJDY or in more elaborate way, Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana. We try to give access to these people for savings, credit, remittances, insurance, pension. In the first place, as I explained to you earlier also, it was envisaged that each person in the family will have an account. Later on, it was decided that each adult households in the family will have an advantage to open an account here. Earlier, one family, one account. Now, each adult will have an account in the banking system. So this is the change which is happening with the passage of time. when I looked to these figures, you know, as I said earlier also, I repeated this figure. When I looked to figure of August 2022, I get something like 46 crores accounts have been opened under the system. Now, what did it help me? This helped me in the direct benefit transfer, DBT, what we call it, to transfer the remit, to transfer the money from the government to the accounts of these people. This leads to a kind of, you know, reducing the kind of leakages in the system which we had. So, and I explained to you these bold figures. 67% of the accounts have been opened in the rural and semi-urban areas. And 56% of the accounts are of women. These two dimensions I have already explained, this is a repetition. But let me give you a figure. The average saving per account is something like 1279. This is very important because, as I said, the aim is not to provide only credit, but also to see that these people are cultivating the habit of savings with the and keeping them with the banking system. At a later stage, we want them to convert their savings into investments also. And this is the figure which was lay in the literature, that about 81% of the accounts are operative in August 22. You will get a little puzzled at this stage. I referred a figure of 35% accounts were inactive, but I said that was a survey which was by the Findex, which was a global survey, which also did it for India, but the definition is a little different. There the definition was, it's a digital operations in the account. Here it is not. It is only here is savings and taking credit from the banking system. These are the only things for which they say about 81% accounts are active. But Findex survey referred to the digital operations. That's the difference we should get it when we look to these two different figures in the presentation. These are something like the financial inclusion, you know. The various states have been given a kind of index. Using certain weightages, maybe we have a state credit to the GDP ratio, we have something like the rural branches, we have something like the NBFCs, we have mutual fund penetration, life, you know, insurance penetration, all these parameters have been there, which you can see from the table. Different weightages are given. And then the index is developed. That which states are more a kind of, you know, because there is always one likes. Can we have one indicator? No. One indicator will not help you to get the full idea. Only opening of the account is not important. What is important is the use of that account. Now we are saying it is more important that they have the insurance account, they have a mutual fund account, they have a health insurance account. Like this, it goes on, you know. They have something like the deposits in the PMJDY when they opened account. Then something, what is the amount of credit they get it, you know. That is a per SAG, how much is the credit? So we refer to the widening, we refer to the deepening, deepening in terms of the mutual fund, deepening in terms of the insurance, deepening in terms of the mutual fund penetration also. So giving these weights, the CARE has developed. CARE is basically a rating agency in the country, which went for this kind of, you know, indices for the different states. And they have developed the index for the various states in the country. We shall see what is the figure for the different states in the country. This is the picture which emerges at the end of it, you know. These are the CARE. As I say, CARE is a rating agency which rated the various states. The rating is available in two parts. Rating is there for the states which are bigger states, like Maharashtra, Telangana, Tamil Nadu. And there are smaller states like Goa, Uttarakhand, or Meghalaya, or some of the northeastern states. These I put as a small state. Now, the rating has been made separately. In the sense, these ratings are different for the large states, but Maharashtra is topping. Something like 72% of the 72% is the score for their Maharashtra. In terms of those indicators, which I said, maybe in terms of the credit, in terms of the mutual fund penetration, maybe in terms of the health insurance, maybe in terms of the kind of, you know, the deposit amounts, maybe in terms of the credit which they got it, or I refer to as credit deepening. So all these parameters, if we take in Maharashtra, tops the list actually. Closely followed by the Telangana, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka. The different figures are there. Those figures are indicating the score out of 100. Like Gujarat, every state has been recorded. Now, these figures are just to show you that there is a substantial variation in the score of the states. This is the area of concern for us, because I call it a spatial variation, or across the space, across the states, the figures are different. Now, this is one of the challenge for us to meet the gaps. For example, if you look to something like a state like Bihar, we have very low score. Maybe 17 or something is coming into the picture. Now, Maharashtra is 72, Bihar is somewhere around 17 or 18, something like that. 17, in fact, it will emerge. Now, if we have to address the issue, we have to ensure that the breach between the scores for these states are breached. And that will call for more efforts on the part of the banking system to go for the financial inclusion. The last, I told you, one of the last dimension which I will touch in this chapter is, what is the perspective? How do I look to this financial inclusion in the years to come? Or something I put it, how I perceive these things to happen in the years to come? One is, as I explained to you, the states have the different scores. Maharashtra was at top, maybe Bihar was at a lower level. Northeastern states have also the low scores. Now, these spatial disparities or the spatial variation has to be addressed. And this suggests that we have to give more thrust to some of the states which are lagging, which are at the lower end of the whole pendulum. What do we require? How can we do this then? It can be done in many ways. One, expand the branch network in the states where we have the low scores. Improve the link-ups with the local institutions. What I mean here, local institutions, means something like the self-help groups, the joint liability groups, the primary agriculture credit societies, or in more recent terms, what we call the farmer producer organization. These I shall be calling as local institutions, or I call them as community-based institutions. We'll have to take care of these institutions so that the financial inclusion in some of the states where the score is low, we improve it. We improve the score. Ultimately, we want the people to join the mainstream. We have to increase the credit deposit ratio, especially in the underdeveloped regions. We have to improve the credit delivery mechanisms for the rural households. As I said, SAG, joint liability groups, maybe farmer producer organizations. These are the institutions we have to develop. And therefore, I use the word multi-pronged. In the sense, we have to go for different strategies. One prescription will not solve the entire problem. Improve the branch network, improve the local community participation, go for the new delivery mechanisms, or I call them more as open, and promote the new institutions. New institutions, SAGs, JLGs, and the FPOs. I call them short form, farmer producer organizations, as FPOs. We'll have to go for the multi-pronged approach. Basically, I'm seeing that maybe we have to go for the, there are challenges, but there are kind of opportunities also. Once I say the challenges, I also have the opportunity. As I said, this concept came since 2005, 2006. That is what you can see it in this slide. What I'm saying is the banks will have to go for more innovative products now. Now, please remember, when I talk the innovativeness, it is not necessarily I'm talking very high level. Very simple word, what I want is, whatever we are doing, we have to do it more simpler way. We have to do it more faster way. We have to do it more useful way, which is helpful to the community. For example, the General Credit Card, GCC. These kind of products, they help us to go for more financial inclusion, which will ensure what? Which will GCC type or General Credit Card will help me to provide the credit in a hassle-free manner. The another perspective which I'm looking to is, more technology is being used, I may have to go for the digital financial services, which can help me to provide the kind of, you know, instant services to the people who are accessing these services. Therefore, my future is linked with the digital financial services, is also linked to the BharatNet high-speed broadband band. Now, this is where I get, unless I have the connectivity, the whole technology or whole digital financial services which we are aiming may not work. So we have to promote the digital banking units also in this country. That is last sentence, you can see it. This is short, we call it DBUs, digital banking units. What that means is, we shall see in the next slide. Basically, we have to promote the the aggregation of these people have to come together. We have to promote SAGs. We have to go for the joint liability groups. We have to improve the producers' organizations. The group-based approach has to be promoted so that they get the incentives, they get the subsidy, which are mean for them. This groups mechanism will definitely help us to get into the kind of subsidy to reduce the leakages and ultimately get the benefit of the schemes and join the development process of this country. This is the kind of thing we have to remember. This is the word which I shall be using in this particular course. What I require is, I require a credit plus approach. Let me invest my little time on this concept. What I want is not only credit. I require a credit plus, beyond credit. What I want? I want a skills to be improved, one. Two, I want to promote a financial literacy. Third, I want a credit counseling to these people. And fourth, which is very important, I want to ensure the market access. So throughout this course, I shall be using this word credit plus. Whenever I refer to the credit plus approach, I not only mean credit, but also refer to the skills upgradation, also refer to the financial literacy. I refer to the kind of, you know, market linkages. I also refer to financial literacy, which has to be promoted in this kind of groups of people. Last sentence, which is in bold, I make it of this particular slide. The financial literacy is very important because this helps me to improve the allocative efficiency of these people. These people, they have their own resources. Now, maybe whatever little land, labor, capital which they have to improve their allocative efficiency so that they join the development process with a kind of improved units, you know. Also, the technology is going to help me to undertake the cashless transactions. That is very important for us to see in the days to come. That is something, a form of my perspective, part of my perspective I'm seeing. Maybe technology is going to emerge in the days to come. This is the perspective part I wanted to share with you. What I'm proposing is, we need a directory of the financial products which are available with the banking system. For example, what are the kind of returns these people can get from these products? Or what is the cost of the credit for these people? What are their insurance products which are available to these? Now, these products can be a list, can be a directory. Whole telephone directory like that, you know, directory of the products can be prepared and which can be made available in the banks, in the post houses, even with the banking correspondents. The directories may help these people in basically getting a holistic information about the various products. The idea is very simple. Develop a directory, make it available with the banking system. They can go to the bank and get the idea about the entire products which are available. And I said this. This particular program or the financial inclusion, this has been empowering the women, which is one of the very important things we have to remember throughout this course. Empowering in the sense, they join the decision-making process. They participate in the decision-making process of the family as well as the community. Because as I said, some of the SAG members, they have become the members of the panchayats. So that is something joining and the political, you know, the institutions which are there, these people, they join the institutions, they participate in the decision-making process for the village as a whole. This was the sentence which was there, the DBUs, I made a statement. Now the little more details are here. Basically, DBUs mean digital banking units. These are the fixed points where I get a variety of infrastructure. I get a variety of products, I get a variety of services, and what are products I get it? I get the idea about this credit, I get the idea about the savings, I get the idea about the insurance. Now these are the kind of, you know, these are the processes. This will help me in how? Two ways. One, small ticket retail loans can be applied online, one. Second, the disbursal of credit can also happen. Now the DBUs are going to help me technologically to apply for the loan and get the disbursement of credit through the accounts which we have opened with the banking system. So these are very cost effective, these are safe, these are secure. This is a long way to go in as far as the financial inclusion is concerned and the digital literacy is concerned. You know. So DBUs will help you in reducing the cost of providing the services to the people and also help them to get the services in time and with a lesser cost for them also. What are the issues of the microfinance? You know, what are the issues of the poor? We have talked, we said in the beginning that there are issues of the poor. These are the some of the areas where some of the issues we must get into it. Because ultimately, if we know the issues, we can have the solutions also. Basically, these are the having a lesser habits of banking. They, as I said, they are excluded from the banking system. Their cost of transactions are high actually. Basically, they have a seasonal income or they have an irregular source of income. They don't have the salaries every month. They can't get the salaries. Their income sources are either linked with the crop harvest or depending on the wages they get it whenever the work is available to them. They have a high cost of transactions. The next dimension is these are the accounts. They require small loans, but they require the small loans at frequent intervals. Please remember, these people do require credit of a smaller amount, but the requirement of credit is more frequent. This is the one end I wanted to show you. This is a live story of a microfinance, how this microcredit helps him the kind of, you know, go into the enterprise mode actually. Maybe the small amount of loan which becomes available to them helps them to grow into the micro enterprise. So around Pune, we tried to get into this kind of people, and he said that he's not only going for savings, but he got a credit from the banking system. He has used the banking facilities for the remittances. He has even insured, you know. Now you'll ask me, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. The Prime Minister Jan Suraksha Yojana or the Jeevan Jyoti Yojana, these are the people who are joining those streams and getting insured. You know. Basically, what are the characteristics of the microfinance? These are basically, as I said, these are small loans. Maybe a few thousands are there. These are basically, as I said in the very first sentence, these are the people who have the low income. As I said, maybe less than 3 lakhs of rupees in a year. They require more innovative practices. This is a high-touch business model. Please remember. Now, you let me caution you at this stage. High-touch business is very important word because in the COVID period, this was a sector which was affected more because these were the high-touch business models where the people have the contact with the agencies and their personnel frequently. And the specifics of the microfinance are we can go for a group mode of lending. They have a doorstep delivery. They get immediately the credit. These loans are for short duration. Please remember, short tenured. In the sense, they are for short period. They have a collateral free. They don't have to put any collateral with these banking system for getting the credit from the bank. They need not write the purpose for these kind of loans. So what we saw in that informal credit, those positives are being brought into the microfinance products now. Now, this is where you get a link actually of the earlier slide and this slide. Basically, the loans are in group. These loans are available at doorsteps. They are available immediately. They are meant for the short duration, maybe a year's time. Short duration means we'll have to define somewhere. But even in 6 months, they can return the loan and get another loan from the group or from the banking system. They don't have to offer collateral because they don't have collaterals to offer, in fact. So these are the kind of specifics of the microfinance we have to remember. These are the kind of hallmark, I call them, of the microfinance. Those five which I've indicated. Group mode, doorstep delivery, immediate availability of credit, short tenure, collateral free, purpose free loans. These are the hallmark for the microfinance. And we have to take care of the clients through addressing these kind of specific which are needed by the poor. Basically, when I talked, I said that these are basically small loans. These are basically for the low income group. Basically, they facilitated the financial inclusion and assist the poor people. Ultimately, the very important last word is important. Ultimately, we have to bring out these people out of poverty. We have to raise their income levels so that they come out of the poverty and they are brought into the mainstream of the country. This is what we expect. Financial inclusion, this basically enables these people, as I said repeatedly, this helps them to save, support their families and protect themselves from the risk daily life. How? Through insurance. This is one mechanism which is going to protect them from the risk. Very important. This is going to help them to get the credit when they need it, repay the loan when they have the kind of surplus or they have out of their earnings which they have, they can repay to the banking system. Protecting from the risk, I told you, through insurance mechanism, we can get it into this. Credit Plus. This is a repetition, but I have given you so that it becomes clear to you. As I said, not only credit, but providing the skills, financial literacy, counseling, and market linkages. This is very important as far as the credit is concerned. We have to go beyond credit and provide these people Credit Plus. So the approach has to be Credit Plus. These are the some of the references which I thought I must share with you so that some of you who have the time and would like to go into a little more details, you can refer to these sources and improve your understanding and the depth of the subject which we are dealing. These are the references which I thought I must share with you. With this, I thank you very much for the first chapter we have completed on financial inclusion.